There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Books That Made Me.
So we speak to bookworms about the books that left a lasting impact on who they are and how they see the world. Rebecca Heaney is with us in the studio. Now, would you like to introduce your Death Trilogy?
Oh, yes.
What you're going to be talking about.
The infamous Death Trilogy. Well, the reason why these three books kind of came to me grouped together was because when I was in my final year of university, we had to pick a thesis topic. And my mind sort of turned to these three groups of books that I had read as a teenager that all had death as a character in them, an anthropomorphic death figure. And I started thinking about why would these three writers choose to personify death in this way? And what kind of commonalities can we see through their representations? And one of the things that emerged quite quickly looking at the stories and the three books are, well, there's the death books by Terry Pratchett, which include Hogfather, Reaper Man, Mort, which kind of I group as one book together. There was The Book Thief by Marcus Suzak, and there was The Tales of Beedle the Bard by J.K. Rowling, which is part of the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows book. And it became very clear to me that there was an overarching theme that all these three quite different writers had imbued into their depictions of the death character, and that was using him to tell stories, using him as a storyteller, and using him to help promote myth-making and the way that humans create narratives in order to answer big questions. If you're not familiar with any of these books, we're going to do a quick rundown of some of the plots. And we're going to start with The Book Thief, which is an obvious one because this book is quite famous for having death as the narrator of the story. He goes to Germany, where he watches the unfolding life of a little girl right at the beginning of the Second World War during the rise of Nazism through to the end, and the kind of tragedies she sees and suffers during that time. And what's so interesting about having death as a narrator is that Suzak doesn't make him this kind of all-knowing, equanimous being. You know, he gets angry, he gets sarcastic, sometimes he's funny and sometimes he's sad, and he gives him that personality. And then the second book, which is the Harry Potter, the Deathly Hallows, it's the Tales of Beedle the Bard has a story in it called The Tale of the Three Brothers, which is about three wizards who go and meet death on their journey. And it's framed as a fairy tale in the Deathly Hallows book.
I love that you've chosen a book within a book.
Yes,
within a book.
It's very meta.
It's very meta. I think we actually have, if you've seen the film or read the book, you'll be familiar with the story. But just to refresh your memory, here's Emma Watson narrating some of it.
There were once three brothers who were travelling along a lonely winding road at twilight. In time, the brothers reached a river too treacherous to pass. But being learned in the magical arts, the three brothers simply waved their wands and made a bridge. Before they could cross, however, they found their path blocked by a hooded figure. It was Death, and he felt cheated. Cheated because travelers would normally drown in the river, but Death was cunning. He pretended to congratulate the three brothers on their magic and said that each had earned a prize for having been clever enough to evade him.
So that's a brief introduction because we couldn't play the whole thing. But
yeah,
the tale of the three brothers.
The key to this story is that it's very fable-like, and it's set, like you say, it's metafiction. It's set in the Wizarding World universe. It's described as a fairy tale, but various characters in Deathly Hallows believe it to be reality to very different degrees, you know. And there are some people who go, it's an absolute fiction.
Yeah.
And there are some people who go, no, it's absolute truth. And then it ends up being a mix of the two, which, again, we're going to touch on a little bit later. It says something about the way that we use stories.
The Books That Made Me.
With us in the studio, we're talking to Rebecca Heaney, winner of the Montegrappa Writing Prize in 2017 and web editor for Gulf News Magazines. She is our bookworm in the studio today.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. We've already been talking about some of your book choices. Now, the theme is death, and that sounds depressing, but you're here to tell us why it isn't. It's death as a character in fiction. Now, you've already introduced us to two of the books that kind of feature in this death trilogy of yours, which is The Tale of the Three Brothers from the Tales of Beedle the Bard in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, very meta, and also The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, where death is actually the narrator of the story. What's the kind of third part of this trilogy?
Yeah, so the third part is a collection of books by Terry Pratchett set in his Discworld universe. And for anyone familiar with it, death is a character that crops up constantly in these books. But he does get about four of his own books. He gets a little quadrilogy all to himself. And I think that Terry Pratchett's death is probably one of my favourite characters in all literature.
Same,
I would agree. He's just fantastic. And Terry Pratchett uses him to talk about so many things in a very funny, knowing way. Death tends to go on a lot of adventures in his books.
My favourite is when he is forced to retire and he doesn't really know what to do with himself.
No, my favourite is it on Hogfather when he has to pretend to be Santa and he says to the children, yes, cower little mortals or something, and then realises he's a bit out of character.
Yes.
That properly made me laugh.
He's very human in the way that he's always learning as he goes. You know, he takes up a job as a farmer and tries to make that work for him. He takes on the job of the Father Christmas figure, and that's actually one of the Hogfather book is the one that I particularly focused on when I was writing my dissertation, because it is very much about myth and stories and how we create them as humans. And death is once again used as a sort of storyteller figure here, because there is, in the Discworld, there is this very Christmas-like festival known as Hogmas. And the Father Christmas character at the centre of this festival has gone missing. And death isn't having any of this. He's not having little children waking up and suddenly not believing in this mythical figure because there's no presence. So he then dons the red outfit and the fluffy beard, this kind of skeletal figure, dresses up as a jolly, to varying like, success, as a jolly man, and goes forth and tries to keep this story alive and keep belief in this narrative alive.
By bellowing at small children.
Yes, by bellowing at small children.
In his capital Brilliant. Letters.
One thing that struck me as you were talking about it is this is almost a bit like we said with Stan Lee and how his character's evolved. Mm. Because when you first see Death, I think it's in The Colour of Magic, isn't it? He's this kind of malicious, horrible creature following Rincewind around and trying to make things really difficult. And then slowly he kind of softens and becomes more three-dimensional, and that's when the humour comes in later books.
Yes, absolutely. And that evolution is so important because Pratchett is so clever in the way that he picks up and he uses these really kind of funny situations as allegories for lots, you know, social movements, all that kind of thing. And that kind of evolution of death seeming terrifying and then becoming this figure that's a lot more about keeping belief alive and yes, story alive is part of what Hogfather is all about. It's really an allegory for the way that in modernity we've moved from relying on storytelling and narratives to help us answer life's big questions. And, you know, with the Enlightenment, with medical advancements and science, we've sort of put story on the back burner, and he's saying that maybe that could have potentially disastrous effects for our well-being as humans. In the book, there's the Hogfather goes missing because there's a group of mysterious auditors, they're called, mysterious yeah, characters that are really a representation of anti-story. They don't understand myth. They call it wistful lying. You know, they're saying this Father Christmas figure, he's a lie. And they want to assassinate him effectively because they think that he's some kind of mistake. He doesn't serve the mechanical purposes of
yes,
the universe.
They're auditors of reality. That's
yes,
what they're called, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, death just describes them as beings who only want to tell the universe as it is. They see to it that gravity works and atoms spin. And they think that the universe should be a lot of rocks moving in curves, whereas humans know that the universe is so much more than that. You know, there's so much legends and mythology that surrounds space and planets, and we're not about reducing things to their purely mechanical function. And so that's what Pratchett is essentially saying with the death figure here, and what the other writers are saying as well about him being a storyteller, which is, you know, what is death like is one of the biggest questions we have, and we have to rely on art and literature to help us answer that question.
Yeah, so it's fascinating as well. Terry Pratchett is so clever in what he does, because many people kind of describe him as being a children's author. I've heard that said before. But it, for example, with death, he uses him to kind of explore theoretical physics, and it's just incredible. I remember there's one bit I remember, because Death loves cats. I remember that.
Yes.
And they were doing the Schrodinger's cat experiment, and Death disapproved because he didn't like the idea of any cat being harmed in the experiment. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, he is a hilarious character. And it is very interesting in, I mean, in the three of these, particularly with Pratchett, you have this figure that is often has a negative connotation, so for evil and malevolence for obvious reasons, and completely transformed with humour, with comedy, with stories.
Mm. Yes, and really deft touches. I can remember there's a bit where he's competing with Granny Weatherax for something, and they're playing a game of cards, and she got all queens, and he declares that he's got all ones, so she wins because he wants her to win, whereas obviously he's got the winning hand with all aces. And there's just little things in those books that I think are fantastic.
Yeah, he sort of grows more human over the series, as you were saying, and that's sort of a reflection of our relationship with death, actually, because you know, when I was doing research for this dissertation, I was looking at, in the West, how do we feel about death as a concept, and especially when people were talking about the Middle Ages, a time when death was everywhere. You know, they had the Black Plague, people were dropping like flies. And
yeah, it wasn't a great time.
No, it wasn't a good time.
But if you were death.
For that reason, death was very much considered part of everyday life. In art and literature, he was often depicted as quite domestic, being in the home, being a familiar presence. And then as I said, you know, with medical advancements, cut to the 20th century, where death is a lot less a everyday part of life, even though it happens to everyone, we try and remove it from our sphere of experience. It's very medicalized. It tends to happen in hospitals. Doctors and undertakers are really the key individuals that have to deal with it every day. And we sort of sweep it under the rug. And lots of the historians that I was reading describe this in the same language. You know, they said that this is a silencing of death, and that we're trying to hush death up. And I thought it was really interesting that we'd gone from a situation where we had a death that was spoken, that we conversed with, and then we tried to start shutting him up, basically.
As a parent, it's one of the big topics that you really struggle with, how best to introduce it to children. You know, there are these conversations that you have along the way, and everyone talks about the kind of children's development conversation, but less and less do people talk about how you introduce death, and it's so huge. I can remember my daughter, we'd had a goldfish, and the goldfish sadly passed away, and it went the way of the goldfishes by being flushed down the toilet, and she was very quiet for a week, and I thought she was mourning the goldfish, and this was what was going on. And after a week I said, you know, are you all right, do you want to talk about Goldie the goldfish? And she said, Mum, when I die, will you flush me down the toilet? And she'd obviously been traumatised for a week that's what happened. And I realised, because you never have those conversations, you don't talk about what happens, then that's, children create their own narratives in their own heads. So it is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to answer those questions even if someone isn't asking them. And I've just finished reading actually a book by Robert McCrum called Every Third Thought on Life, Death and the Endgame, because I am sort of low-key obsessed with death.
Like, really?
I'm always reading books about it. I'm just fascinated by it. And he talks a lot about the way that in a modern society in the West, we talk about death and deal with it. And he was talking to a psychiatrist, actually, and he said, in the 21st century, the imminent death we are grappling with does not encourage conversation. You're marooned when it comes to language surrounding the dying. We've got a medical language for the physiology of dying and a religious language for the meaning of dying. But in the middle, there's a void. And both he and the psychiatrist agree that conversations and literature, that's how we acquire the language appropriate for dying. And I was reading that book and I kind of went, oh yes, that ties in exactly to what I was saying 4 years ago with my dissertation, which is, you know, these writers are creating a death that we can talk to, that we can interact with, because that's the only way.
It's a tangible figure.
Yes, it's a tangible figure. And it's the only way we're really going to be able to start exercising the anxiety that we have about what is this big dark thing that's kind of waiting in our future. Well, if we go to it and if we make it familiar and friendly, then we can come to terms with it better.
Yes, I quite like the way a lot of literature and films uses that sort of seventh seal death, you know, the game playing death that you can challenge and that will challenge you.
Yeah.
I think that's quite an interesting way to explore it.
Yes, and in The Tale of the Three Brothers, because there's a similar kind of idea with that, where the three brothers try to trick death.
Yes.
And he gives them gifts, and then eventually the three gifts serve to bring them to him in the end. But right at the end of that story, there's the third. You know how in a fable format, there's always, you know, the two people, the two billy goats that make the mistake,
yes.
And the third
and
one,
the one
who's
that
clever.
Gets it right.
Yeah. And the third brother asks for a cloak of invisibility, and he hides, uses it to hide from death his whole life. And then when he's at an old age, he takes it off. And the phrase that J.K. Rowling uses is, he greets death as an old friend. And that perfectly sums up the way that, you know, we use those stories to make death familiar. We make him a friend, and then it's a lot easier to accept him when he eventually does come for us.
Yes.
It's really interesting how each of these stories do that in different ways. Mm. I mean, we haven't spoken that much about the book thief. You said that he's very different to Terry Pratchett's death character, isn't he?
Although there is comic relief as well. It's the way that he's set up so he doesn't really understand humans, just as humans don't really understand death, which is interesting, isn't it? Mm. I found that fascinating when I read it.
Yes, and I think the death in the book thief, because it's dealing with such serious issues, you know, Zusak is really talking at length about the Holocaust. He is very angry, and he kind of has this line right at the end of the book where he says, I am haunted by humans. And he's constantly throughout the book asking himself, how can a group of people be so simultaneously capable of beautiful things, creating amazing things? There's a storyline in the book where the main character, you know, she discovers books, and death kind of discovers them with her. And he's talking about art and literature again, about the amazing impact that they have. And at the same time, humans are capable of such terrible, awful things. And one of the things that Zusak is potentially saying here is that when we have that vacuum, like there was at the beginning of the 20th century, when we had the rise of Hitler and Nazism, there was a kind of vacuum in belief, and very damaging ideologies can rise to fill that. And that's why, you know, the Nazis famously were very much about burning books and that kind of thing. You know, that's why art and literature is so important, because that's what we use to tackle the damaging ideologies, and that's what we use to stamp out fascism. And then in a kind of interesting parallel, again, in Harry Potter, Harry uses the tale of the three brothers
to defeat Voldemort.
To defeat another fascist ideology, which is Voldemort. Yeah,
yes, nice link.
So reminders of the three. I think it's really interesting to read these characters with the theme in mind. So remind us what you spoke about today.
Okay, so we talked about The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, The Tale of the Three Brothers, which is from the tales of Beedle the Bard from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows by J.K. Rowling, and finally Terry Pratchett's death books, which include Reaper Man, Hogfather, Mort, and Soul Music.
Okay, we are going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming on the show.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.